say I'm jazzed or giddy, it would be an understatement. Our next guest is world-renowned. I talked about the first hour. He's probably the leading voice, especially in this movement, for sure. He's the leading voice for raising your awareness, raising your consciousness, to overcoming what has been pressing down upon us with an acceleration of the divinity within us, the excellence within us, the belief system within us, and destroying the whole system, to awaken to the system and then destroy it at the same time with the power that we have been endowed with. This is David Icke. That's one of the reasons I love him. DavidIcke.com, I-C-K-E.com, DavidIcke.com. I was blessed and fortunate enough to have lunch with him, and I've talked to him several times. We're extremely glad to have him on. David, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Real pleasure, mate. Thank you.
You're got some new books people can check out, too. The Answer, which we'll be getting into, of course, is many other books, but The Answer specifically, we'll talk about that. The first question I have for you, kind of a vague question, is you've been writing for a long time, and the most important thing to you right now, connecting your whole work, is what?
Well, I think the most important thing that people, certainly anyone that's in any way new to this, needs to appreciate first, before anything else, is that current events are not random. This is not people responding to a happening, i.e. what happened on the Capitol building the last few days. This has been long planned. It's not been planned for days or months or years or even decades. It goes way, way back. And we are looking at an agenda for the world, agenda for humanity, that has reached a point where it is closing in on its long planned endgame. But it began a very long time ago. So everything has to be put into that context. Now, what is happening now in terms of all this loss of freedom, this imposition of fascism across the world? Was in my books decades ago that this was coming. How did I know that? How did Orwell know that? Because 1984 was not coming entirely from his imagination. Orwell was very, very involved in politics and the political arena. How did Aldous Huxley know in Brave New World in 1932 when he was absolutely from a family that was had many, many insider connections into what I call this global cult. How come so many people that I've quoted in my books over the years, insiders, have predicted current events? Because it's not random. What we have is two worlds living in one reality. There's the world of the population. And this is systematically kept from knowledge, information that they need to know to understand what the hell's going on about virtually everything. So the difference between these two worlds, if you can bring it down to one word, is knowledge. So this world of the population is kept in ignorance by a education system that's merely a perceptual programming operation, by the mainstream media that is just banging out this, what I call postage stamp consensus version of reality. And then you've got the other world. This is a world of secret societies and semi-secret groups. This together, I call it the global cult, which has passed on much more advanced knowledge that it keeps from the population through the generations, you know, not to every initiate of a secret society, to the inner core, to the chosen few. And this knowledge relates overwhelmingly to two things. One, the agenda for the world that they are and have been pursuing generation after generation. And two, the nature of reality and the nature of life itself, which they desperately want to keep from us for reasons we might get into. And the reason that secret societies are secrets, particularly the inner core, is to hold this advanced knowledge in the hands of the few and keep it from the population. So people like me and others who've been researching this over the years, what actually has been happening is we've been uncovering what is known in this other world and communicating it to the public. But of course, up to this point, and even among vast numbers of people still, the world that the population has been programmed to believe in, the real world, mate, I live in the real world, mate, is actually so dramatically different from the world as it really is, the world that's kept from us, that there's through the 30 years of my work and research, an instant reflex action, wave of the hand. That's nonsense. That's fantastic. But what has happened in 2020 up to present day is that events have put reality so much in the face of so many people, at least those who have a capacity for free thought, that they have started to realize that the world they were told to believe in is not the way the world is at all.
You mentioned the world kept from us, and now we're seeing that kind of, I think Johnny Q sitting on their couch. You know, 2 years ago, if you'd have said, oh, there's a global plan, they're going to control your lives, what are you talking about? Turn the football game off. Now Johnny Q public is concerned about that and sees it and is awake, the world that was kept from us. Get more into that deeper, as you said. What is the world that has been kept from us that we are now just beginning to see?
Well, like I say, there's two elements to it. One is that there is this global cult, which goes way back. I mean, you can pick it up in Babylon, but you can go back further. And it has been passing through what we call history, gaining more and more power. And the means of doing that has been to incessantly centralize decision making. So, you go back to the world, the world of tribal peoples, and people in the tribe made decisions affecting the tribe. Then we reached a point where lots and lots of tribes were brought together in what we would call nations, and suddenly a few at the center of this nation is now dictating to all the former tribes. In Europe, of course, and in other examples like trading blocks, but in Europe with the European Union, we have long brought together the nations under central control. So now a few unelected bureaucrats in Brussels in Europe are dictating to all the former nations, and before that, the former tribes of Europe. And so what you're getting at every stage in this process is fewer and fewer people making decisions that impose on more and more. And from that comes a simple equation too. The more you centralize decision making, the more power you have at the center to centralize even quicker. And then we reached the point, of course, where the centralization of global power was such that we gave it a name long ago now, globalization. And this centralization of power has gone on and on and on and on, to the point, if we're looking at this key area of communication and information, where a tiny handful of people in Silicon Valley is dictating the fine detail of what people can see and hear. And I've been exposing Silicon Valley virtually since it emerged. And since your Facebooks and your Twitters and your Googles and your YouTubes emerged, because they have a interlocking leadership, which is this cult. And that's why when they're targeting Parler this week, a social media platform designed to give people freedom of expression, it was done in coordinated unison between Amazon, a cult-owned corporation, Apple, a cult-owned corporation, and Google, a cult-owned corporation. So This is how it works. And so when people say, well, how come they've all done it at the same time? Because it's coordinated. Once people see that actually there's a global web and it operates in every country, and the national webs, if you like, subsidiary webs, their goal, their job is to impose the will of the centrally dictated cult, what I call the spider at the center, in their sphere of influence. So suddenly, if you take this this virus hoax as a wonderful example, you've got the same, with very, very, very rare exceptions, you've had the same response to it in every single country, because it's coordinated. And, you know, there's a lot of talk at the moment about China and China's gathering influence on the world. Well, I've been highlighting this again for decades because this cult operates in every country. But, of course, there are particular centers where it is has its bases. One is the United Kingdom. Not the British government, which is way beyond government. Another one is Italy and all that surrounds the Roman Church and the Vatican. That, of course, one is America, but a massive key one is China. And this cult was behind the Mao Revolution, and it has what it's done in China since then is have basically a closed society until very recently. And through that utter control, it has incubated a model of mass human control, not least based on technology, that it wanted to play out across the world to become the global system, the global model. And if people only look at what has happened in the West and other countries outside the West since this fake pandemic was triggered, in China is that the world has become ever more the Chinese model. And I'm sitting here in Britain, and you know, we're here in a fierce lockdown situation. They've pulled out of the ether claims of a mutating, more infectious virus for no other reason than people were starting to lose the fear of the previous one, because they couldn't see that it was this deadly virus that they were claiming to be terrified of. So they introduce, oh, we've got a new strain, and they introduce it just as they're trying to vaccinate everyone in Britain with this Gates vaccine, which is completely untested. And so when you see how the web works, the events of 2020 to present day start to make total sense. For instance, how has this response to the pandemic, quotes, been orchestrated centrally through the World Health Organization? And the World Health Organization was created by the Rockefellers and other cult operative families, and is currently headed by a bloke called Tedros, a total crook from Ethiopia. And he's the mouthpiece of Gates, who's the biggest funder of the World Health Organization, so he's running it. And, of course, he's a longtime close associate of the Rockefeller family. So when they, in China, introduced this fierce draconian lockdown in response to what they claimed was this virus, immediately Tedros, supported by Gates, is saying the way that China has responded to this is the way the West must respond to it. And so you have the narrative of how the pandemic should be responded to and what the pandemic is coming out of the World Health Organization owned by the cult. And then over in Silicon Valley, they blatantly, openly have said long ago now, we are going to censor any, well, I would say exposure, any criticism of the World Health Organization version of the pandemic. And people would look at that and think these are independent decisions being made by the World Health Organization and Silicon Valley corporations. No, no. The common theme is the web. So one part of the web is giving you what you must believe about the pandemic, and the other part of the web is censoring anyone that's exposing the World Health Organization version of events. So all that needs to be known. And all that is kept from the population, except through those who go looking for it, and by those who are getting around the censorship up to this point. But then you have the bigger picture, which is they want to keep from us the very nature of who we are. They want to keep from us that we are consciousness. We are a point of attention within an infinite field of consciousness, having a brief experience called human. The I is really consciousness, eternal consciousness. What this world of the population is designed to do with all its manipulation of information is to get us to self-identify the I, the true I, with our labels. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm this race, I'm that race, I am this religion, I'm that religion, I'm this sexuality, that sexuality. They are merely experiences that our eternal self, consciousness, awareness is having. But what this manipulation has done all the way through history is to manipulate perception so that we believe that what we're experiencing briefly is everything that we are. And when you think and you self-identify with the labels at the expense of the true self, then all you can see is limitation, I can't, it's not possible, which is exactly the perception that this cult wants people in. It doesn't want expanded awareness, sharp thinking, critical thinking people. It doesn't want that. It wants people who self-identify with powerlessness. And a great part of what's going on now psychologically is to infuse even more deeply that sense of powerlessness, that sense of there's nothing we can do. And in the end, it's all psychological, because if you are a few, and at the core of this cult, you get them in one room, then the only way that you are going to be able to dictate and drive the direction of the lives of billions is by controlling their perception. Because from perception comes behavior, and collectively behavior becomes human society. And if you go back, perception, which becomes behavior, is dictated by information received. So you control the information, you dictate to a vast extent perception, thus you dictate behavior. So if we look at 2020, because people took on the perception that there was a deadly virus, in the first lockdowns in the spring, they just very meekly went under house arrest, because their perception was that that's the only way to be protected from this virus. And what's happened since is, of course, the ante has been constantly upped in terms of lying to frighten us. And once that started to fade, like I said earlier, bingo, suddenly there's a mutated version of the virus to frighten us even more.
I'm fascinated, you know, listening to you, I had the thought, it's kind of a aha moment. You talk about this inner circle, there's an inner group of people who want to control, manipulate our consciousness for their evil gains, basically control in America, we say the Declaration of Independence, our endowment from our Creator. They want to control the endowment of our Creator to create a world in their image that they want. You know, when you think about that and then you think that you're helpless, hey, or we're so small against this, when you put all of them in the room, they're not that many. And so if you feel small, well, you put all of us in a room that feel this way, they're a heck of a lot more than the people in that room. So you shouldn't feel small. You should feel very big, actually.
Well, let me just explain in very simple terms how it's possible for a few to control billions. It's a very, very simple structure. And it has to be. If it was complex, it wouldn't work. It would fall apart. And the other thing about it is you have to fiercely compartmentalize information and knowledge of all these things so that only a tiny few actually know what's going on and the rest are just doing what they're told. So if you look at global society and national society too, and you picture a pyramid, at the top of the pyramid, you've got the inner circle of this cult. And it imposes its will, its agenda on the level below below itself. And that level acquiesces to that imposition and then imposes it on the level below itself. So very soon after you come down the hierarchical levels from that inner cult group, you are meeting people in the hierarchy who have no idea there even is a cult. But the same process goes on. The higher level imposes, the lower level acquiesces, and then imposes on the level below it. And then you come down to the bottom of the pyramid where the mass of humanity is. And if we, in our billions, acquiesce to that level of the pyramid which is seeking to impose upon us, i.e. governments, law enforcement, and so on, then we form a circuit. We create a circuit of imposition and acquiescence between the tiny few at the top of the pyramid and the mass of the population. And that that circuit means that that tiny few have imposed their will, their agenda, on the entirety of the global population, merely through this imposition acquiescence sequence. And so what's the answer? We break the bloody circuit. We stop acquiescing with our own enslavement. And that, particularly in current circumstances, takes courage. But I would say this, you know, I was able to call current events decades ago because I've been researching it full time. And where we are now is only where we are now. It's meant to get vastly more extreme than this and go into some real beyond sci-fi areas of control and imposition. So are we going to think the short game? Well, what are the consequences for me of doing what I know to be right? Oh, well, I better not then. Or are we going to look at it from the point of view of, well, yeah, I don't really want to do it, but if I don't, look where we're going. Look what the world my kids and grandkids are going to have to live in. And so one of the I think vital things, which may seem strange on the face of it, but it's fundamental, is we need to get over the fear of death. We have to get over that. And we have to come from this point of view that this human life is just a very brief experience. We are the eternal consciousness having the experience. Now, when you're coming from that self-identity, death has no fear for you because you know it's just a transition to another state of reality. And if you think about it, if you remove the cause, the fear of death, or how many other fears disappear with it? So why is someone who is aware that we are eternal consciousness having a brief experience called human, they're going to be intimidated by authority. They're going to be intimidated by law enforcement. They're going to be intimidated in not saying what and doing what they believe to be right. Because when you look at the fear of death, this is where the power of doctors comes from. Doctors, most of whom have no idea how the body really works, because they've been kept as much in the dark as anybody about the nature of reality and the nature of the human entity. But if you're frightened to death, you'll give your power to doctors because, oh my God, save me, doctor. Let me stay here a bit longer. And if you have a fear of death, then you're going to go under house arrest because some dark suits are lying to you about the fact that your life could be in danger on a mass scale by some deadly virus. That losing this fear of death, so many other fears disappear. And it's important we do this because if we are going to go on thinking, I must do anything to stay alive, then we're just going to hand our power to anybody we think is going to help us achieve that. And of course, the whole irony is, because everything's an inversion, is that these people that are telling us to accept fascism to protect our health have an agenda of absolutely destroying our health. This is the same web that's saying you must do this so we can protect you, that want to vaccinate you with untested vaccine that is going to have a terrible effect on human health and many other things. It's the same web that's putting poison in the food with herbicides and pesticides, the same web that controls Monsanto, as it was known, of course, before the takeover. It's the same web that's putting 5G up, the same web that's putting crap in the drinking water. These are the people. It's the same web that obviously controls the big pharma cartel, which makes its billions by people being sick, not healthy, to the point where one of the biggest killers in America is actually the big pharma treatment system. So these are the same people that are saying you must do what we say because we care about your health. It's ludicrous.
We love you.
But the manipulation of fear of death, it's massive. It's massive in terms of its control of human perception and behavior.
Well, let me ask you about how to flip that because, it's a little different in Britain. In America, the line that we draw that really is a defense against, like, the lockdowns, to me, is the Bill of Rights in America. You have a legal, lawful, the Bill of Rights is the law. So then there's a conflict there, so you have to create the conflict. So something is more, one of those things is more important than the other. So is you sitting at home and maybe protecting your life, is that more important than the Bill of Rights? So I think this goes across the board throughout the world. It doesn't matter if it's the Bill of Rights or whatever it is. Something is more valuable than your life. It's not that you have to be afraid of death as much as you have to, because that's really hard to come to that point. What's much easier is to come to the point of there are some things that are worth more than my life. That's easier than not having a fear of death. So for the world, freedom must be more valuable than your life. And when that's true, and then you connect the two, then this is simple. In America, when the Bill of Rights is more important than your life, then when they tell you to stay in your house, you have to, then it's an easy decision. What do you think about that train of thought?
Yeah, I think both are true. I think what you've just described is absolutely right. But here comes the question. Why are people in such vast global numbers frightened of death? For the very reason that I talked about earlier, which is the nature of reality and the true nature of the eye is systematically kept from us by this other world, this global cult. They
right,
don't
let me
want
pa- let me pause
know
you, David.
The true nature of self because it frees us from so many fears that otherwise we would have. But yeah, in the end, I mean, it's not just about life. I mean, you know, it's just life in a different form, in a different reality, in a different experience. That's what we call death, a transition to another state of reality. But even within the human experience, is life for life's sake, as you know, in the world of humans, more important than the quality of that life?
No, it's not.
I mean, people, people are not, we're not seeing all over the world, in Britain, America, everywhere, the dismantling of human psychology manifesting as record rates of suicide and mental illness. That's not happening by accident, obviously. It's happening as a result of the experience of lockdown and depression. So a life without freedom is not a life worth living at all, because so eventually everybody's psychology is going to unravel if this goes on and goes on and goes on. And because the psychology, the perception, is the target of this cult, because it knows that if it controls that, it controls everything. That this, wow, this demolition of human psychology that's going on, it's all planned. Do you know, in Britain, the British Cabinet Office that serves, supposed to serve, doesn't really, the government, actually part owns a company called the Behavioral Insights Team. And this was inspired by Cass Sunstein and this guy Thaler, who wrote this book called Nudge. In fact, the Behavioral Insights Team is known as the Nudge Unit. And of course, this Cass Sunstein, who was a czar in the Obama administration, he's everywhere. He's advising the World Health Organization now on the psychology of how you get people to do what the World Health Organization wants them to do. And the British government is advised by, well, it's ludicrously called a science advisory group. Ludicrous. There is no science. It's called SAGE. And SAGE is awash, not with medical professionals, but with psychologists. The woman who was pushing and pushing for mandatory masks in Britain, and in terms of shops, etc., got her way, and they want them in the street everywhere in Britain that's coming, is a lady called Professor Susan Mikey. And she's not a doctor. She's a psychologist. She's also a member of the British Communist Party, by the way, operating within the British government. So it's all psychology, because they know, get perception, you've got the person's behavior. And so all that's going on now is psychological. If you take the mask, the holes in the masks are bigger than viral particles, even if you believe in the there's a virus. So when you cough and sneeze, the viral particles come through the mask. So it's nothing to do with health. But so what is it to do with? Well, it's to do with damaging health by breathing in carbon dioxide, which the body's trying to expel. And it's damaging health by not breathing in enough oxygen. There is a neurologist here in Europe who's come out and said that if this goes on for any length of time, you're going to be seeing dementia in what are now kids in their 30s, because she points out that children and young people need far more oxygen than adults, because their body and their, particularly their brain, is still developing. And they need lots of oxygen to do that. And if you deprive them of oxygen, then bingo, you're going to have brain development problems. And then you come to the psychology of masks. And first of all, what does the mask do? It makes you faceless. It takes away your individuality. It takes away the facial expression interaction with other humans. It dehumanizes you. And, you know, from about 1996, well across the millennium, I did an enormous amount of research in America, in Canada, and in Britain, and other countries, into mind control and MK Ultra. And I talked to so many survivors of MK Ultra in its various forms. And I was called by one, or contacted by one on email, maybe about 3 months ago. And she said, I just want to point out that what happened is that when she was in captivity in MK Ultra, or one aspect of it, she gave birth to her child, a daughter who I've also met. And she said that from the age of two in MK Ultra, because her daughter was born in captivity, if you like, they forced her daughter to wear a mask because of the way it deprived the brain of oxygen, which helped mind control, make mind control easier, and because it dehumanized her.
Oh my God.
And took away her individuality. This is why I said way back in the summer when they started introducing a mandatory mask in shops and stuff, what's coming is you won't be able to leave your home by law without wearing a mask. And you'll even be told to wear them indoors if there's any people there that you shouldn't be there. Indeed, indoors in general, this is where it's going. And this is what's happening. They're now talking in some parts of the world. I think it's Australia. I think it's Queensland. I saw a story today of telling people to wear masks when they're alone in their car and when they're walking in the street, etc. This is where it's going. And what they're selling to justify it is protecting health, when actually it's all part of a long-term dismantling of the psychological stability of the human race, so that with psychological instability, you're not going to get pushback on the scale that you would otherwise.
David, you are one of the most profound people that I've ever listened to. And I've listened to a lot of your videos. I mean, what you just said about the make the mind control easier psychologically, I'm just blown away every time I listen to you, and it puts more and more pieces. What it does to me, even just listening to you, I research this a lot. I know this a lot. I'm not near as versed as you are on a wide range of subjects. I'm pretty damn awake, though. But listening to you, and this is what I'm noticing in people I see out, you know, talking to, you come to a point of realization where, if I don't do this, if I don't do something, then we are going to have this. If I do not stop this car from rolling down the hill, it's going to crash into the river. They're coming to the realization that the river is just around the horizon. My question to you is, how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how close do you think we are to this inner circle's end game? How close have they gotten us?
Well, what is the end game?
Good question. Go ahead. Answer that.
Yeah, the end game is to connect artificial intelligence to the human mind, the human brain, and the human body, and to replace the human mind with AI. Now, this is not me pulling it out of the ether. This is what has been described very clearly by a executive of the fascist Google operation called Ray Kurzweil. Ray Kurzweil is called a futurist, and he claims to have an 80% accuracy record in predicting the future in terms of technology. Well, that's not too difficult when you know what the future is planned to be. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like George Soros. All that George Soros, he's such a brilliant financier. He always knows when the market's going up and down. Yes, because the people he represents are doing it.
Because he makes it go up and down.
I could be a brilliant financier if I knew what was coming up and down.
David, go past that. David, go past Kurzweil for a second. Go past him. They want us to hook up to AI. They want to take our why? Why are they so damn hell bent on getting our consciousness?
Oh, well, this is, we're going to go into some really deep stuff here and really into the world of sci-fi.
We got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
One of the ways, one of the things that I've been ridiculed for over the years, staggeringly when you break it down, but true, is that I'm saying that behind this cult is a non-human force. And that this cult is the representative of this force within human reality. And when you get into the fact, and my God, I've researched this to a very deep level. When you chart and track these major players in the cult, you invariably find yourself going into the realms of paedophilia and Satanism. Literal human sacrifice Satanism. I do not kid you. Why? I mean, they're sick, they're psychopathic, and I would call them evil, except evil would probably sue for defamation of character. But they're not intellectually stupid. So when they do their rituals to their gods in these satanic rituals, they are connecting with another force. And this force is seeking to assimilate human consciousness into itself. It cannot do it without human cooperation, even human cooperation when it doesn't realize it's cooperating. It has to be manipulated into it. And so when you connect AI to the human mind, the question becomes, what is AI in this sense? On one level, yes, you've got algorithmic AI. On another level, you've got the level of AI that they're constantly feeding all the information that people post about themselves on the internet. That's constantly being fed to AI so that AI becomes more and more and more skilled in understanding human psychology and what makes people tick, and what if you do A, humans will do this. But there's another level of AI which is not spoken about, obviously, which I say is this force. Because, again, we are consciousness. And consciousness does not have a form. It can take form, but it doesn't have form in and of itself. It's just a state of awareness. And you can have a state of awareness that's balanced and loving and harmonious. And you can have a state of awareness that is deeply, deeply distorted, inverted, and that's what we call evil and psychopathy. This force behind this cult, this non-human force, is an expression of a deeply, deeply distorted, disturbed, chaotic, what we would call insane state of consciousness, but not stupid in an intellectual sense. And what you're seeing, because this cult is a manifestation of this force, this state of distorted consciousness, you see the actions of the cult operatives, be they Bill Gates or whoever it may be, express in their behavior the state of consciousness of the force that's ultimately behind them and controls them. So one of the expressions of this consciousness distortion is lack of empathy, the inability to feel empathy or compassion. And the cult operatives are an expression of that consciousness and thus act without empathy or compassion. So empathy, putting yourself in the feelings of those you affect, is the fail-safe mechanism of human behavior. It's empathy that holds things in balance and in check. Because if you can feel go into the feelings of those you're affecting, that's going to affect your behavior. But if you don't have that emotional consequence, no matter what you do, there are no limits. And there's nothing that's off the table. So if you take Gates, who's a classic expression of this inverted consciousness, look in his eyes. There's no life in those eyes. There's no humanity. There's no light. They're dead. And you can see this distorted consciousness in the eyes of these people through their dead eyes. Look at Tony Blair, dead eyes. And so what you are looking at, say with Gates, is someone who has impossibility of manifesting empathy that he can press for global lockdown, which has destroyed the lives and so many minds of vast numbers of people, that has destroyed their livelihoods, destroyed their sense of hope, their sense of joy, has devastated the health through lockdown of vast, vast numbers of people worldwide, destroying the psychology of children. So he can get a vaccine inside them that he knows will devastate their health and devastate their minds. And it's almost impossible for anyone with empathy to imagine anyone could possibly do that. But take empathy out. Take any ability to manifest compassion out. And I would say this. If I program the computer next to me to do something and I pressed enter, would the computer process that demand through empathy and compassion? No, it doesn't have the ability to manifest those things. So it would just do them coldly, calculatedly do them. And that, in a sentence, is the mentality of those that are driving this cult.
It's like a robot. So let me say it another way.
I wouldn't dismiss for a second that we are looking with this cult, the Gateses and all these others, at some kind of massively advanced form beyond anything we can imagine now of AI.
Wow. You basically just told the Bible story in a very simple way, that the Lucifer consciousness, the Christ consciousness, they're competing. Lucifer wants God's power. The Greek mythology with Ares. Ares was mad that Zeus gave fire to man, gave consciousness to man, and so he's going to destroy man with their choice, to take their choice. And I will make you happy if you just give me all your choice. In my deranged, I get to keep choice. I will do it all. You give it all to me, and I will make you happy. You just described the Luciferian doctrine in just a very profound way. Am I right? Is that it is?
You're absolutely right. And over the last 30 years, I've been to more than 60 countries researching this. And I've talked to everybody, every walk of life, including shamans that carry the ancient knowledge of ancient societies and the legends and the stories. And it's extraordinary that when you look at the religious stories and you look at the shamanistic stories and the ancient stories of ancient societies, it's not the differences that strike you. It's the common themes. So this force is known as demons and Lucifer to Christians. It's known as Chitahuri, or the devastators, children of the serpent, to Zulus. It's known as Archons to the Gnostic belief system. It's known as Jinn to the Islamic belief system. And all these different names, and I could go on and on and on, all these different names are describing a force operating in the hidden that's manipulating human society. And all the way through the centuries and the thousands of years, this theme has been the same. Why can't we see this force? And this is, again, we come back to keeping the population in ignorance of what the cult knows.
David, we only got 2 minutes before the end of, this has been unbelievable. I gotta stop you because we only got about 2 minutes. We're talking to David Icke, of course, davidicke.com. His book, The Answer, is a must. We went over basically the thrust of this book in this conversation. This has been a very profound interview. We got literally about 2-3 minutes left. What must we do right now? What is coming right along the horizon? What must we do right now, David, to defeat this?
Well, just very, very quickly, just to finish that point, when we look through our eyes, we don't see everything in the space we're looking at. We see a tiny band of frequency called visible light. And beyond that, infinity exists and we can't see it. That's where this force operates, beyond the frequency band of human visual acuity. What can we do? Well, you can
stop wearing those masks. Throw away those masks to begin with.
Oh yeah. I mean,
your future depends if you're going to wear a mask or not.
Go ahead. There's two things that we can unite around as symbols of freedom, and that is taking the mask off and not having the vaccine. Now, those two things alone we can unite around. And taking the mask off, if one or two people do it, then you can be targeted. If vast numbers of people do it, it becomes unenforceable. And that's the question that we face. You know, who's gonna start the ball rolling? Of course, there are many people doing it already. I've not worn a mask. I never will. I'll die first. No matter how much they make it mandatory. But, you know, we can look at a situation we don't like, and we can say, what's the solution? Or we can be, I think, wiser and ask, what's the cause? Because you can look for solutions, and solutions usually lead to other problems. But you can, if you're wise, remove the cause of the problem. And once you remove the cause of the problem must disappear because the cause is gone. And the cause of human control right the way through known human history is human acquiescence by the many to the few, not least through fear.
God almighty. Wow.
So if we can remove that cause of the problem and stop acquiescing to the combination that controls the world is twofold. You've got I did a meme on the internet once, and it said,
you got 20 seconds, 20 seconds, David, 20 seconds.
You got a picture of planet Earth, and it said, ruled by psychopaths, run by idiots. And that's the dynamic. You've got the psychopaths running the world through the idiots. And we need to stop acquiescing to both. And when the cause is gone, the problem will go. And,
stay right there.
It won't until we remove the cause.
Stay right there, David. Stay right there. David Icke, incredible interview. Ladies and gentlemen, get it out. You know what the censorship is like. This is important. This is who you are. Are you endowed by your creator or aren't you? Is divinity within you or isn't it? And this is the fight. This is for all the marbles. So what are you going to do? God bless you. Stay tuned. We'll see you tomorrow. James McCanny, Gerald Celente, later this week. We love you. Bye.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease, it's just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.